You're listening to BusinessAmericaRadio.com, the leader in live business talk radio.
Welcome to Managing Technology the Right Way with your host, Sun Jogal, brought to you by the University of Phoenix Online. If you don't have time for college, let the college come to you via the Internet. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers. Now showing you how to manage technology the right way, here's Sun Jogal.
Good morning, folks, and welcome to the show. It needs careful planning and flawless execution to make technology work for us. But how many times do we succeed? On this show, we invite business leaders and subject matter experts with extensive experience in technology management. The intent here is to learn from their experience and discuss better ways to manage technology. To learn more about the show, please visit talkshow.avval.com. That is talkshow.avval.com. Today's topic is the changing role of a CIO. Our guest for today's show is Darwin John. Darwin currently serves as a member of the Congress-created Science and Technology Advisory Board to the FBI. Prior to this position, Darwin served as a special advisor to the director of FBI, and as part of that position, Darwin served as the chief information officer for the FBI. Previously, Darwin has held various executive positions, including managing director, information and communication systems worldwide, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, vice president, the Scott Paper Company, and director of information and communication systems development and operation, General Mills in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Darwin has been a longtime member for the Society of Information Management, holding many leadership roles, including president of the society. Good morning, Darwin. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you.
How's life going? Keeping busy?
Life is full. At this stage of life, I consider myself in retirement, which means I have choice.
Okay, so you're not under the gun to reach at a certain meeting at a certain time, I guess.
Correct.
That's great. Now, you know, you've been in this CIO shoes and at a very, very responsible position, and you've also seen it from outside as strategic advisors. You've seen definitely that over the years, role of IT has been changing, you know, the way it's been perceived by an enterprise. It started with almost like a software person, then it went to somebody who was managing information, and now we're talking about strategic planner. Now, how has that role changed a typical day in the life of a CIO versus, like, you know, what we are doing right, what a CIO is doing right now versus what he or she was doing, you know, a couple of years ago?
From my experience and viewing point, what has evolved is that today a successful chief information officer really has to think about their life in what I call three-thirds. A third of their time focused on minding the store, running the operations day-to-day, a third of their time working with the management, their peers and their superiors in their enterprise, and at least a third of their time focused externally, tracking what's going on in the industry, relating to peers, and really being in a learning mode for a significant part of their time. And so it's a whole new balance there from what it used to be.
So do you think they are basically still doing the day-to-day operations stuff where the based on the changed role, I think the corporate management no longer want them to be the typical managers who are actually looking after the software and the applications and the system. They would rather have a CTO or somebody below him or her as the role of CIO.
I think that's true, but at the same time, I believe that a chief information officer needs to be the integration point for the chief technology officer or someone else who may be more like a chief operating officer who is minding day-to-day operations. So in that sense, I'm starting to think more of a model which is a team leadership idea, something that I've referred to as the office of the CIO, where you really have several players, the CIO still being the integration point, but each looking after the various pieces.
Now, let me ask you this. When the things were changed on a CIO, while of course, you know, it was driven by corporate management seeing the role evolving based on the value IT brings to the table and the leader who was kind of leading the IT counterpart for them, they thought might as well increase the level of responsibility and accountability and the work content of a CIO so as to change a business's need. How is a CIO taking it? You know, you could just shove all the things on a CIO or push all the things on a CIO, but how are they reacting to it?
For the most part, I think they're reacting in a very positive way. And my sense is that you know, as the practical things have happened over time, as this whole discipline has evolved, and as information technology and all that means has become much more mainstream in every enterprise, and every enterprise has become much more reliant on it in terms of how they operate and how they do business, the CIO has naturally then moved towards the inner circle of leadership and broader in terms of their responsibility and or opportunity to influence. My sense is most CIOs have evolved with that well. Those who haven't, then I think contribute to the short tenure for many CIOs. In today's world, you must earn your way into that inner circle and be a part of that team, or it just doesn't work.
When we talk about a CIO, we are talking about this person going and trying to do strategic planning. Of course, the newly given role to that individual. However, there was some service conducted, and that was not only conducted in the United States, across the globe, and there was quite a significant percentage of CIOs who had mentioned or rather complained about the fact that while they were given these responsibilities, but they were still not empowered enough. So is that a true statement? Of course, you know, that it came out of a service, so it should definitely have some substance to it. So why is that happening? How come this corporate management not able to understand that you can't have the cake and eat it too? You have to give him some power.
I think it's true that your statement that people haven't been invited in as much as they would like to, or have not been empowered as much as they would like to. And for me, that's a reality, but what's more important is how a CIO responds to that reality. You know, one thing they can do is you know, we can wring our hands and say, ain't it awful? But on the other hand, we can accept that as reality and then position ourselves to build the bridge there rather than waiting for someone to traverse to us. We can build the bridge there. We can earn it there. My belief is that ultimately, if you just wait for someone to empower you, you'll be waiting a long time and perhaps will not succeed. And so you must be proactive and just earn it, make it happen.
So one area was where CIO was basically challenged, and they kind of accepted the challenge of this newly defined role. But are they able to cope with it? Based on whatever they came with in terms of their background, the experience they've had in different companies, the newly found challenge of suddenly wearing the hat of a strategic planner and sitting in the boardroom and kind of talking about what a 10 or 20 year plan for a business is that what they were cut out for?
Well, their background hasn't prepared them for that necessarily, but going back to the first point we talked about of this idea of balancing and investing perhaps as much as a third of one's time in really a learning mode, my sense is that if they get focused on the idea that the role is evolving, they must go somewhere to learn, and even though that may be more or less comfortable, one must engage in that. They must learn, they must know the business, all that goes with that. A companion idea for me is a mindset, whereas some CIOs may say, I need to put in place a strategic plan for information technology. My thought is that there is no such thing. There is no standalone plan for information technology. Information technology has a plank in the corporate plan, and so the mindset is I am first a member of the leadership team of this enterprise. Second, I happen to look after the information technology piece. With that mindset, with proactive learning in order to position one for that, one can be successful. Now, one other point, I think every CIO has choice and every CIO has preference, and if they're just not comfortable with that, then they can back off and do something else. But if they want to be a CIO in a major enterprise today, my sense is they've got to move into that space and do whatever they need to do to prepare themselves to be successful there.
How many CIOs do you think would be vocal about the fact that they are not ready for that role? And before the role is actually assigned to them,
my thought would be there could be a significant number who would feel that way, who may have come up more through the technology side of things, and maybe just their personal preference would be more to be focused as an expert in a specific area in a deep way, rather than move to more the broad general management kind of an idea. And so I think people can feel that way, and then they just need to make that conscious choice. And I'm a bit of an idealist about this. I think to wring hands and point out the negative of how it doesn't work just adds no value for anyone. And so you just make a choice. I'm going to draw back and get focused somewhere where I can be just in the technical role, and or I'm going to accept the challenge, become a broader general manager and a part of the first team of the enterprise in terms of that team and making a difference in that sense.
So do you think they would be, like many times when you see such a lucrative offer, would they kind of shut up and say, okay, let me go and jump into it and learn how to swim?
I think my experience has been over, now decades of being in this kind of a role that most CIOs are very much realists. They have their feet solid on the ground, but at the same time, they are learners. They are people who seek to grow personally, and most, I think, move towards it comfortably. Now, does everyone succeed? No. Do all of the other senior leaders that they would become a team member with understand and can relate? No. And so some senior leadership in enterprises reach to other places, other functions for people who they have worked with or they have confidence in and have a relationship with and have a sense of trust with, that then they can let be a buffer between them and the information technology. But that doesn't need to be. My belief is that most CIOs, if they choose to, can step in and be successful.
Now, are there any specific guidelines? Of course, we cannot convert becoming a CIO or be ready for a CIO role into a science, but is there something like, when we talk about technology, we know technology is almost, it is a science, and you can learn a technology in a certain methodical way. Is there, even academia, for that matter, whenever we go to business schools, nobody teaches you how to become a CIO because it's just a kind of a fuzzy area, if you will.
Well, my basic belief is that a CIO role is about leadership, and the best preparation for it is basic leadership capability, and if you can get that in place, then whatever else needs to follow can follow that basic leadership. And just to go on a bit of a tangent about leadership, my belief is that most problems in the world could be helped with stronger leadership, whether that be in the world or in our country or in our community or in our neighborhood or in our homes. And I would argue that every CIO needs to grow and develop their basic leadership capability, and with that in place, then the rest can follow naturally.
So with this renewed expectations, do you think the organizations are taking on some onus of retooling these CIOs?
I believe they are, and I would give two examples. One is I'm aware of two situations that are approaching this, which we can talk more about.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Yeah, we can talk right now.
Okay.
All right. Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages, and let's pick up the topic where how the organizations are retooling their CIOs to take on the more strategic role. And when we come back, we'll discuss this in more detail. So please stay tuned.
Looking for ways to improve your IT department? Then visit www.avval.com today. Aval is a professional services firm with a mission to help companies align IT with their business objectives through strategy, technology, branding solutions, and services. Our commitment is to ensure bottom-line improvements as a result of services rendered by us. Whether it's an IT needs assessment, strategy development, or related implementation, we back it up by our unconditional positive ROI guarantee. To find out how Evol can help your company, visit www.evol.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Evol, making IT work and look better. www.avval.com. Visit today.
To reduce the hours you spend working while improving your bottom line. Listen to The Coach's Office with Jeff Levin every Monday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time here on Business America Radio. On the show, Jeff Levin, the coach, will show you proven systems and strategies to help your business grow and prosper. He will also welcome on guests who will share their inspirational stories on the success of their small business ventures. Stop struggling. Start prospering. Step into The Coach's Office every Monday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Every organization has two complementary yet competing organizing structures, the hierarchy or org chart, and the network, the web of informal but trusted relationships. You can see and measure the org chart, but how do you measure and assess the network? On Mining Your Networks with Dr. Karen Stevenson, you'll learn how to measure your network, improve it, and find new ways to take it to the next level. Get the good, the bad, and the ugly on today's networks. Listen to Minding Your Networks with Dr. Karen Stevenson every Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time here on the Bottom Line of Business, BusinessAmericaRadio.com. You hear business show after business show all geared towards improving a company's bottom line. But what about your bottom line? How come no one ever talks about that? Finally, a show dedicated to the worker, The Crow Show with Paul McLaughlin, The Work Wonk. Heard every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, The Crow Show is aimed specifically at the worker and their environment. From work skills and technology to dealing with bosses and coworkers, The Crow Show will give you insight on how to survive and prosper in today's workplace. The Crow Show with Paul McLaughlin, The Work Wonk. Heard every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line of Business Talk, BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
You're listening to BusinessAmericaRadio.com, the leader in live business talk radio.
You are listening to Managing Technology the Right Way, brought to you by the University of Phoenix Online. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free at 1-866-233-7861. Now back to the show. Here's Sun Jogal.
Hey, Darwin?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, just let you know, I think they had put the volume a little higher on the music, but if the music comes, we can still keep on talking.
Okay.
You're listening to BusinessAmericaRadio.com, the leader in live business talk radio.
You are listening to Managing Technology the Right Way, brought to you by the University of Phoenix Online. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free at 1-866-233-7861. Now back to the show. Here's Sun Jogal.
Welcome back to the show, folks. For listeners who've just tuned in, today's topic is the changing role of a CIO. And our guest for today's show is Darwin John. Darwin currently serves as a member of Congress-created Science and Technology Advisory Board to the FBI. Prior to this position, Darwin served as special advisor to the director of the FBI, and as part of that position, Darwin served as chief information officer for the FBI. Before the break, we had started discussing about, the changing expectations for a CIO, of course, makes the role a little different. While the CIO would try to cope up with it, try to retool himself or herself for that role, but what are the organizations doing to help him or her out? So, Darwin?
There are two or three ideas to think about here. One is There are a couple of organizations, Loyola University in Chicago being one, and the federal government being the other, who are exploring the idea of developing a certification program for CIOs. This is new in our world. Of course, certification is something we're very familiar with, so that's something to watch as that unfolds. Beyond that, and perhaps the more practical thing, is over the years, I have tried to be in roles of a mentor or a coach to a number of people that I have known or who have worked for me who have evolved into CIO roles, and that whole idea of coaching has been, I believe, something that works. Beyond that, something I'm not able to talk about specifically at this point, but I am I have engagements with some major corporations where I am, in fact, being a coach to CIOs to help them deal with whatever their challenges are, but particularly the focus of trying to broaden and move into these larger kind of roles that CIO positions have become.
As you rightly said, because, you know, CIO role seems to be more like a people and a business management versus actually, if you think about it, it's not technology management as much lately. So it all comes down to, you know, there could be a potential formalized methodology or formalized structure, core structure, which these guys could go to and learn from it. And then coaches like yourself who have paid the dues, have been in the trenches and know what works when and where is, I guess, the only way of educating this new breed of CIOs who are going to take on the world.
My belief is that all things considered, it's a very individualized and almost tailored to individuals and their enterprises, because obviously individuals are in different places and have had different experiences, have come from different places, and at the same time, a CIO is not a CIO is not a CIO in terms of the definition of role in major enterprises. You know, one enterprise may give to the CIO really 100% budget control. All CIOs throughout the organization may report to them in a solid line, if you will. Others choose to approach that differently, where it's more of a coordinating dotted line kind of a role. And those two different definitions require very different focus and emphasis and maybe even strengths to be successful.
Talking about this reporting relationship, there has always been justification in both directions. One is that there was a dotted line to the CEO, and primarily the CIO was reporting to the CFO. And on the other hand, there were, you know, two bosses. You got a CFO and CEO to report to. And the third flavor is, of course, you are directly reporting to the CEO. Now, where do you see, given the changing role of a CIO, which particular reporting relationship makes the most sense?
Well, for me, there's a couple of things to think about. One is the nature and the structure of the enterprise, number one. And number two is, what is their emphasis? For example, if the emphasis in the enterprise is around efficiency and a high concern for cost, then it may seem natural that the CIO report into the chief financial officer or the controller, where that can be the emphasis. On the other hand, if the enterprise is thinking about information technology in a more strategic kind of way, then for me, then you need to be in that inner circle on the first team reporting into the CEO. So it has at least two dependencies. One is the nature of the organization and how it's structured, and the second is what is their emphasis or how do they think about information technology as a strategic factor in their business.
Now, let me ask you this. One is, of course, the responsibility, the more feathers on, potential for having more feathers on your cap. And other thing is the other types of incentives, including remuneration. What basically is stimulating a CIO in the past and now, given the changing role?
My sense is, and again, I admit to looking at this a bit idealistically, the people that I consider the best CIOs and good friends are people who are focused a great deal on making a difference, and that overriding some of the other considerations which may be more power-based, like the economics and all that go with that. Now, economics are important, but again, I think more and more CIOs are seeing themselves as in a window of history when information technology has evolved so rapidly and has had and will have such a major impact on enterprises and how they realize their purpose, that I think many CIOs have evolved a bit to that thought of how can I provide leadership to something that's a bit unique and many are still learning about in those senior roles to make a major difference in this enterprise in its realizing its purpose.
Now, you know, there are two flavors of employees in any organization, and I would still call CIO as an employee because he or she is an employee. One is that somebody who takes this job as a profession. Other person who would take it, yes, as a profession, but still it's also going to bring a living to the table. And
right.
And many people weigh it against the amount of headache they have to go through. And I've seen situations where, in fact, somebody quoted, a CIO that I know who quoted that, you know, they were actually looking for a new position, and when they were trying to go in, they said, before I get in, they were giving us, okay, a nice package, but at the same time, they wanted them to implement a brand new SAP implementation across the enterprise, and I guess in 5 or 4 months. So, I mean, it all comes down to the fact that, after all, CIOs are also human beings. I mean, are we not trying to make them superhuman by putting a lot of expectations on them?
I think that's fair, and I think part of that is conscious, and part of it is perhaps because there isn't full understanding. You know, and maybe a way to think about it is using the thought that you were just expressing, and that as a CIO may be looking at an opportunity, what do they evaluate? And my sense is there's sort of a set of things to think about. One is at this point of how does this enterprise think about information technology strategically? Therefore, where does that let me report? You know, what is the economic package? And then you get down to the other hard part of getting some kind of a sense or getting some kind of a measure of the degree of difficulty in pulling off what they're asking one to pull off, and within that or alongside of that, the risk profile of that degree of difficulty. Because many senior leadership in enterprises, in my observation, sometimes are in this search for the individual who can come in and work magic and accomplish things where the degree of difficulty and the risk profile are extraordinarily high, and it may just not be possible. So to your point, there may be expectations that are unrealistic around some CIOs.
Okay. Now, let's look at the fact that CIO is, while, you know, for United States, I guess, the world is almost every time it's United States. But let's look at the global perspective, you know, because CIOs do exist in other countries. And also there are situations where a CIO is like a global CIO, because if an organization is global, then they are positioned in such a way that, okay, you could have a local CIO, but he's still reporting to a global CIO. So how is the role evolving in other parts of the country, and how, you know, how the organizations in different in other part of the world, sorry about that, and also how are the organizations behaving in the way, you know, CIO could take on this newly added responsibility? We have kind of focused enough on a CIO's different flavors and how the organization does it, but primarily we looked at the U.S.-based scenario. Let's look at the different countries, the different parts of the globe where CIOs are also facing the similar problems, but how are they coping and what are they going through? So let's discuss about this more. We come back from the break, so please stay tuned, listeners. We'll be right back.
Today, college graduates average 75 to 110% more income than non-graduates. But if you don't have time to go to college, let the college come to you via the internet. At University of Phoenix Online, you can earn your degree when and wherever you want in just 2 to 3 years. University of Phoenix is the largest private accredited university in the U.S. We offer degree programs in business, technology, nursing, education, and more. Call University of Phoenix Online at 1-800-797-3011.
Looking for ways to improve your IT department? Then visit www.avval.com today. Aval is a professional services firm with a mission to help companies align IT with their business objectives through strategy, technology, branding solutions, and services. Our commitment is to ensure bottom line improvements as a result of services rendered by us, whether it's an IT needs assessment, strategy development, or related implementation. We back it up by our unconditional, positive ROI guarantee. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, making IT work and look better. www.avval.com. Visit today.
Politics and business go hand in hand. To find out how, tune into the Tammy Says Show every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time. The Tammy Says Show will feature informative and influential guests involved in the political world, as well as some of today's top business leaders. So tune in every Monday and get your questions answered as she cuts to the chase in the issues that affect your bottom line. That's the Tammy Says Show every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk Radio, businessamerica.com.
You've probably heard it before. After the end of a relationship, a kindly friend will offer those famous words of support. There are plenty of fish in the sea. Well, that kindly friend is wrong, dead wrong, because the fact is many fish are declining in number. And unlike other things, there's actually something you can do about it. Simply log on to GetGreen.com to learn how making the right seafood choices can help keep our oceans healthy and full of fish. It's easy to do. And now that you're single and lonely, you got the time. That's GetGreen.com, a message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business. This is BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Welcome back to Managing Technology the Right Way with Sun Jogal, brought to you by the University of Phoenix Online. Call in with your questions at 1-866-233-7861. Now back to the show. Here's Sun Jogal.
Welcome back to the show, folks. For listeners who have just tuned in, today's topic is the changing role of a CIO, and our guest for today's show is Mr. Darwin John. Darwin currently serves as a member of the Congress-created Science and Technology Advisory Board to the FBI. Prior to this position, Darwin served as a special advisor to the director of the FBI, and as part of that position, Darwin served as CIO for the FBI. Before the break, we had started discussing about the changing role of CIO in the United States primarily, but let's look at it from a global perspective. And the global perspective means either the CIOs are residing in different parts of the world, and that's where they're operating, and that's where they're facing similar challenges. And the other part is where there's a global CIO role versus a local CIO role, and that primarily means that you have a global organizations where they are local reporting structures and also a global reporting structure. So please share your thoughts.
Thank you. Let me just give a bit of a conceptual backdrop as we go into this discussion. One of the things that seems clear to me is that information technology per se has enabled a global economy, has enabled reaching across the globe for resources, all that kind of a thing. So the very discipline we're in has changed the dynamics of the world and how commerce works and the whole global concept. So having said that, having been in the role of having responsibility for global operations in a couple of organizations and knowing and having CIOs around the world in various countries and cultures, there is a lot to learn about how to make that team work and how to be real clear on what kinds of things you look to do in a common way and what needs to be tailored to the local cultures and you know, primary among those is simply language. What part of your operation, what part of your business do you operate in English? Some would argue that's the language of commerce in the world. And what part do you really need to package for in the local culture and language in order to be successful? And so there's just a whole spectrum of things to think about, and I believe all of us are still learning about that and figuring out how best to do that. At one point, in my experience at Scott Paper, when we were moving more towards thinking about things globally, I took the opportunity along with a few of my key team members to visit some of the major corporations that we thought were doing it best. And I remember sitting in Switzerland at Nestle's headquarters and having these kinds of discussions and learning from them. And they said it's real simple. We do business in English, and we advertise and package and market in local languages. And so all of those kinds of things, there are companies who are doing it extraordinarily well, even when they may be based in a country where the language is different than English. So that's just one idea to think about. The second idea is that my sense is there's not a lot of difference in terms of the basic fundamental keys to success for a CIO in the U.S. or someplace else in the world. And just to go on with that idea a little bit further, you know, as I'm sitting here at this point in life, looking back over, you know, near four decades in these kinds of roles, one of the things is extraordinarily obvious, and that is that the technology has changed dramatically and is so different than it was, you know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. But there are some fundamentals that are just as important today as they were 40 years ago, or the reciprocal of that are things like project management, things like change management, things like configuration management. Those kinds of ideas are just as fundamental and just as important to success today as they ever have been and haven't changed. That's also true if you look at that in the other dimension of across the world. Some of those fundamentals are just as key to success no matter where you are, as long as you're in this kind of role. So for me, there's a whole set of ideas to think about. There's a set of fundamentals that are the same, unchanging. There's a set of things that we're still learning about. And third, but the whole discipline or capability of information technology makes it possible. And it's not going to go away, I don't believe. Now, there's going to be political dynamics. It's going to be politically unpopular with some of the kinds of things that may go on in a global commerce or global economy kind of an idea. But it's not going to go away.
Now, when you mention about the configuration management and those kind of fundamentals, which still remain the same, the only difference between earlier and now is that most of these functions, to some extent, have been kind of automated using different types of technologies which have come out. Now, the role of a CIO, other than managing or supervising or at least steering the company in that direction, has that not become easier just because now you don't do these things manually? You don't have to man 500 people who are kind of doing it versus having a piece of software doing it for you?
I think that's true. And for me, it's more the idea of the balance or the mix has changed. There has always been a combination of science and art to the whole information technology or CIO role. Another way to say it is it's been a balance of the technology and the human dimension. And that balance has shifted and changed. But at the same time, my belief is, although we've had expert systems in artificial intelligence and those capabilities are continuing to become more sophisticated, the judgment that a human can bring, you never can get fully programmed in. And so my belief is that it's a matter of balance. You still need the human. You still need the human judgment, but the science can, in fact, help you a great deal. Now, there's two edges to that. One of the things I've been talking about more lately is that I've always believed that getting real clear on what the key pieces of information are that you need and what the indicators might be about your success or in whatever you're trying to accomplish, and getting real clear on that and having less information versus more information might be the right idea. We still, I believe, and have over recent years continue to somehow believe that more information is better, or being able to run more simulations is better, and it might not really be so. It might be getting clearer on exactly what information we need, then bring that together with human judgment, and there's where we are able to be the best at what we're trying to do in providing leadership.
So when we spoke, or now that we spoke about global and even local United States, how is the CI's role any different for a government organization versus a regular or enterprise? And then, you know, how has that changed?
Again, in living in those, both of those roles, there are very many things that are the same and common, and then there are some unique things as well. And let me just give a couple of examples of those. One of the uniqueness is around how you deal with your providers, your vendors. Now, in the private sector, one of the things that worked for me was having key people in strategic providers that I would spend time with, what I used to describe as discover together, what offerings they would have or what's evolving in their labs and what our requirements were and how that would work together and where those matches would be, all of that kind of a thing. And so vendors in that sense were a very powerful resource in helping. Now, if you're in the public sector and there is a significant sensitivity to not giving any preferential treatment to any provider, you're not able to reach to get that same kind of help, because if you did, you would by the very act be giving some preferential treatment, because at the end of the day you end up in a situation which is a competitive bidding process to get, you know, sell the equipment or the service that might be coming. So that was a primary difference for me. The other thing which, you know, we talk about so often is just, you know, what drives what and what are the motivators. And in the private sector, you know, with a bottom line and a payroll to meet and shareholders to please, there is a driver to move things forward with some urgency. Without the bottom line in the public sector, that's different. And I think we're still learning how best to get that driver to move things along at a more significant pace, those kinds of ideas. One final thought is that if you look at the public sector, one of the first things you start to think about is what arena do you try and optimize, or what arena do you try and have a common architecture in? That kind of an idea. Is that for each department and agency in the federal government, for example, or do you need that in the federal government in total? And then that gets very large and very complex. So it's that idea of what arena do you try and optimize. In private enterprise, that's clear, much clearer.
So just before we go to the break, I just wanted to ask you this thing that, as you mentioned about the drivers, I think one of the unique thing about a government organization is that you don't have any competition. And I think more
right.
than anything else, competition is the biggest, push or the driver for a business to really put the CIO under the gun to really perform and bring some value to the table. So how do you deal with that?
I think you're very right, and the competition is healthy and good. And again, it's just a part of the dynamic that you need to accept and work with and deal with and become a master at.
Let's take a quick break, listeners, and we'll be right back. And let's look at another phenomena, which is changing the role of a CIO from just managing their internal operations and staff to managing the external alliances, and that's we're talking about outsourcing. Because here the CIO is changing into a negotiator and a relationship-building expert. Now, this is where a CIO is being asked to come out of that comfort zone and learn the techniques if they want to, and really live with this new changing paradigm of the way business is being conducted nowadays. So let's delve into more into this when we come back from the break. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Today, college graduates average 75 to 110% more income than non-graduates. But if you don't have time to go to college, let the college come to you via the Internet. At University of Phoenix Online, you can earn your degree when and wherever you want in just 2 to 3 years. University of Phoenix is the largest private accredited university in the U.S. We offer degree programs in business, technology, nursing, education, and more. Call University of Phoenix Online at 1-800-797-3011.
Looking for ways to improve your IT department? Then visit www.avval.com today. Aval is a professional services firm with a mission to help companies align IT with their business objectives through strategy, technology, branding solutions, and services. Our commitment is to ensure bottom-line improvements as a result of services rendered by us, whether it's an IT needs assessment, strategy development, or related implementation. We back it up by our unconditional, positive ROI guarantee. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, making IT work and look better. www.avval.com. Visit today.
Hi. LOL. Well, AISI, it was NBD.
Kids are spending more and more time online, and even if you heard what they're typing, you probably wouldn't know what they're saying.
Some PPL, whatever. ISS.
They chat online in a language full of acronyms, and unless you use it every day, you won't understand it.
YIWGP.
You won't know what they're saying or who they're saying it to. A lot of times, neither do they. Last year, 1 in 5 children was sexually solicited online. So here's an acronym for you. HDOP. Help Delete Online Predators. To protect your kids' online life and to get a full list of acronyms kids are using, call 1-800-THE-LOST or visit cybertipline.com. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
You're listening to BusinessAmericaRadio.com, the leader in live business talk radio.
You are listening to Managing Technology the Right Way, brought to you by the University of Phoenix Online. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free at 1-866-233-7861. Now back to the show. Here's Sun Jogal.
Welcome back to the show, folks. For listeners who have just tuned in, today's topic is the changing role of a CIO, and our guest for today's show is Darwin John. Darwin currently serves as a member of the Congress-created Science and Technology Advisory Board to the FBI. Prior to this position, Darwin served as a special advisor to the director of the FBI, and as part of that position, Darwin served as a CIO for the FBI. Before the break, we quickly touched the topic of outsourcing and the changing role of CIO even further from a technology person to a negotiator and a relationship building expert. So please share your thoughts.
Thank you. Again, this is a dimension, I think, of the evolving role and the kinds of things that we can expect will continue to come. And this just shifts in a way that we need to think about some basic questions like what can the enterprise do best or what can only the enterprise do and where can we reach to others to resource work or to accomplish work for us who, in fact, can do it better. And I believe that the CIO needs to be asking that question all the time. And then when he reaches, across town or across the world, then it gets back to this basic idea of looking at the economics of that, the efficiencies of that, but balanced with the risk of that. And that risk can have all kinds of dimensions to it. And so in that sense, it gets to be a bit of a classical business kind of an idea that one needs to get very good at. The contract negotiations, the project management, and doing that remotely, all that goes with that. And it ties back to this idea we talked about earlier of one of the things that information technology has brought to the world is the capability for things to be global. And that's, for me, exciting and almost where I believe a CIO can get connected with a cause. And let me just give you one example that excites me. And that is, if you think about the world and you think about it in an idealistic way and bringing more access and equality across the world, for me, where I come from, that's in education. And I'm looking at some universities who are now saying, we need to think less about brick and mortar, and we need to think more about information technology. And we, in fact, can make our offering, our academic opportunity available to that student in the Philippines who wouldn't ever stand a chance of having the wherewithal to come to the United States, perhaps, and attend a university, but they can get that last mile to some place where they can get access via internet or other kinds of variations of that, and in fact tap into an education in a prime university, and in that sense build their education, build their capability, and take themselves out of perhaps the poverty that they're in or to another place in terms of being equal in the world. For me, it's that kind of an idea that really makes the CIO role exciting. And in very real way, we're in a window of history where CIOs are on the front end of that and can make those kinds of things happen, which can bring enormous fulfillment way beyond it being a job or way beyond it being just another leadership role.
So what are the different leadership models that you see, you know, evolving over a period of time with respect to the CIO's role?
For me, traditionally, you know, we all have been familiar with the hierarchy role, command and control, and I believe that's a model and it has its place and it always will. But alongside of that, there is a second leadership model, which is more the partnership, the team, the office of the CIO kind of thing. I believe a CIO has got to be proficient in both leadership models, and they need to have proficiency in adapting their personal leadership styles to function successfully in both models. Excuse me. And so when there's a day when the network's down and you need to be in command and control and get that up again, you can do that. And then when there's the day when you're setting the direction for the future and architecture, and you're sitting with the chief technology officer and perhaps another key leadership in the organization, you, in fact, can work in a collaborative kind of way with a team sense. And my thought is that too many CIOs haven't grasped yet that they need to be proficient in both leadership models because, for the most part, I think more and more of our work we will need to get accomplished in the collaborative or more in the team model than in the traditional hierarchical model.
You know, there was a unique approach to building an IT division of an organization, and there was one thing, actually a company has done it, and they're very successful, is that they have made their IT enterprise as almost like a separate entity, and it ends up selling back to the organization as if it was a vendor, and the CIO actually is the top boss there.
Right. There have been a few organizations who have experimented with this, sort of a business within a business, if you will.
Yeah.
And I think that has worked for some. It has been tried in unsuccessfully in other settings. And for me, again, it gets back to tailoring and perhaps designing it for a specific enterprise and what might work best there. But I think over time we'll see more and more experimenting, more and more models that can work and best serve enterprises. But what is not going to go away is how central information technology and what it offers or what it enables or what it makes possible for the enterprise. That will become increasingly significant.
Now, along with the CIO's evolution or this role's evolution, has the role of a CEO, from the standpoint of listening better to the CIO and other things that they need to be, learning in order for a CIO to be able to work their do the work efficiently themselves. So is a CEO also learning, or a CFO is also learning?
Clearly they are, and I think for them to be successful, they need to be very literate. And I think sometimes we've been a little confused about what computer literacy means. Some people think that means being proficient at sitting at your terminal, at your PC, and knowing how to operate that. For me, that can be literate at one level of work. But if you're thinking about a CEO or a CFO, computer literacy has to do with knowing what can be possible for us using information technology.
That's right. Now, let's quickly talk about the fact that, people are talking about the role of CIO could go away altogether because the way information could be used to enhance the business effectiveness would be so well known and so well understood by all the other players in an organization that CIO would not be needed anymore. So what are your thoughts?
My belief is it will always need to be here because there needs to be an integration point on the front end and on the back end. On the front end for determining technologies to be used and setting architecture, on the back end with the infrastructure to achieve the economies of skill and scale that are there. Between that, a lot will be dispersed, front end, back end, bookends. CIO will be the integration point.
On behalf of the show and our listeners, I would like to thank you, Darwin, for sharing your thoughts about the changing role of CIO.
Thank you.
Thank you again. And from a software guy to an information manager and finally to a strategic planner, the CIO role has actually morphed into an ever more responsible and accountable role in an enterprise. So the corporate management should be careful, however, in terms of how they enable this role to carry out the newly delegated responsibilities. Empower a CIO. Allow him or her to develop a team that works with this captain and stop taking his advice with a grain of salt, since at the back of your mind, it is possible that he or she still may be a software person. For a CIO to successfully contribute and leverage his or her skills, the onus also lies on all who give orders as well as take orders from a CIO. He is there to make it happen, but needs the necessary support. So managing technology, we have to understand that CIO's role is going to stay, and this is going to evolve into somebody who is more powerful and also going to create eventual value to an enterprise. Thank you again for listening to Managing Technology the Right Way. This is Sanjog All, your talk show host. Till next Friday, take care and God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to Managing Technology the Right Way, brought to you by the University of Phoenix Online. Please join Sanjog All next Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com.